shine, little Uber, liver, liver, leap.
Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, and I am joined tonight by our local gardener and fellow worm, Shane Smith. Good evening, Shane.
Good evening. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Shane has been on the show before. He lives here in our sweet town of Paonia, and he just brings a wealth of experience. He's an author.
Yeah.
Greenhouse Gardener's Companion.
It's not fun writing books, but it's glad that they're done.
But there's a lot of good information in there, and it brings you some other perks as we'll kind of talk about in a little bit. But author, you also built a botanical gardens.
Yeah, founded and ran the Cheyenne Botanic Gardens, Wyoming's only botanic garden. Started it in 1977 and walked out the door in 2019. Mm-hmm. But I actually started my horticulture career in this valley doing internship for CSU fruit research.
Right. You wanted to be an orchardist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Now I kind of am again.
Good. I would love to go to that Cheyenne Botanic Gardens because, you know, you think of Wyoming and it is. There's just
It's a tough place.
It's tough. I love it.
I was just there for the bomb cyclone and we watched the temperature drop 40 degrees in less than 30 minutes.
Oh, no kidding.
And woke up to minus 27 with a wind chill of minus 40.
Whoa, yeah.
And then 3 days later, it was like 42 degrees.
Yeah, love it. You got to be hardy to be
that.
In Wyoming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Shane is here, and it's a live call-in show. Jeff's in the control room there to take your call. 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now. You can email us as well, worm@kvnf.org. I just have to say, on my way to the studio tonight, I went by the hearth, and the Arbol Winter Market that Voga and the Learning Council put on is just cranking over there.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear.
Yeah, the ice cream shop is full.
Yeah.
Everything's full over there. The street's full. And I think you probably have another hour or so if you're in town and want to come downtown and see that.
Cool.
All right, it's winter, Shane, and when you were here in the fall, we talked a lot about your garden or your greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a pretty substantial greenhouse with some good climate thermal mass in it. Remind us what you have.
Well, it's not substantial is not a good word for it. It's the smallest greenhouse I've ever gardened in.
Oh, okay.
It's only 6 feet wide, but it's almost 24 feet long. So it's really long and skinny.
I
have to kind of grease my elbows just to walk down the main aisle. But I've got a lot of fun stuff going on in there. Coffee plants, sensitive plants, salad greens, fig trees being overwintered.
You've got some major glass or
I have both thermal mass, which makes it very self-sustaining in terms of solar heat, but also my friend Johnny Weiss, who co-founded the SEI here in town, talked me into trying a climate battery, which Jerome Ostankowski over in Basalt has been promoting for many years, and there's some other folks over there that kind of developed the idea, and it's where you suck in warm air from the upper reaches of your greenhouse and with a fan down through some stovepipe, basically, down into the bottom of a raised bed, and then that plenums out into 3-4-inch fabric-lined perforated tubing, so the air spreads to the bottom of the raised bed and then comes back out an exhaust pipe and blows back into the greenhouse to get the air turning around, which is always good in a greenhouse to have air movement.
So it's like a climate battery. It's a system, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of a fancy name for a pretty simple idea of just pumping warm air down into your bed.
Mm-hmm. And have you had that installed for?
Yeah, this will be its third year.
Uh-huh.
And it's working great. I get down to about, on the coldest nights this year, I've gotten down to about 38.
Oh, wow, that's not too shabby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of...
There's things you can grow. You know, you're not going to be picking tomatoes at 38, but you're picking salad greens. Leafy crops, root crops do quite well. Certain herbs do well. And I do have some bottom heat mat for starting seeds. And I sneak on there before the seeds start some basil plants, which do not like it cold, but they're doing just fine on that heat mat. And I discovered a basil that doesn't go to seed or very rarely goes to seed. It's called Emerald Tower. and a little smaller leaf, but I just love the fact that it doesn't go to seed, doesn't flower.
So tell me about how your greenhouse is different than a cold frame, temperature-wise.
Well,
cold frame's going to be about where?
Cold frame, well, there's, I'm not quite sure what you mean by cold frame. Cold frames usually are a term for a very small, short, little stature thing.
That's what
and
I
then
think
some
I'm talking
people
about.
Think cold frames are the big walk-in Quonsets. So, yeah, cold frames are much smaller. The smaller, the less cubic feet you have, the harder it is to overwinter things and be solar. That's why I'm struggling with a 6 foot wide greenhouse to be keeping its warmth. And a cold frame, they work great. They're probably best for season extending. For you could overwinter things like spinach and some other cold hardy crops that would probably just lie dormant during the coldest part of the winter, but they would start greening up way earlier than outdoor spinach. And they're low tech, you know, cheap. You can build them out of recycled materials.
Right.
The hardest thing about people have about cold frames, especially in the West where the sun shines a lot, although not this winter, is that you need to vent even on sunny winter days. And if you're at work and you don't get by to vent, you could be running that cold frame up to 90 degrees or more and be burning plants. So you have to really think about some low-tech automated venting or some kind of system to vent, or just prop it open when you leave in the morning and drop it back down when you get home on sunny days.
That's a system for me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, interesting. So yeah, you've got coffee plants and figs in the greenhouse, which wouldn't work in a cold frame. And I like that description, season extender. That seems to be really
And that's what a lot of people use the larger Quonset huts for. And a lot of farmers use them around here for. Some farmers are doing them year round. Some are just using them for season extending, and they work great. I wrote a technical manual for Department of Energy on solarizing Quonset huts and growing year-round in Quonset huts in 1982. And it wasn't a mass market book that you can find on Amazon, but it was kind of, people didn't believe it was possible back then, and now you see them everywhere.
Right.
Which is good.
Yep, it's very good. 527-486-8866, KVNF Now. Shane Smith, local gardener, and just a wealth of knowledge here. Call us up, ask him a question. So besides greens, is there anything that you're eating out of your greenhouse?
Parsley and dill and what else? Well, you know, I don't just grow food. I like to grow some flowers.
Okay.
So I'm growing, there's some sweet peas that are that actually flower in the wintertime. And you have to read this description and get the right ones. And it's so fun to pick a bouquet of super fragrant sweet peas in the dead of winter.
Absolutely.
And snapdragons are a great cold-tolerant cut flower. And there are special varieties of snapdragon that bloom in the wintertime. So you don't just grow any old snapdragon. And I'm also really into forcing bulbs. So I'm, I've got things like paper whites, which I buy and then keep in the fridge and then just pot a few up every couple of weeks and then hand them out to friends. Very fragrant, some for some people too fragrant. But then the other thing I do is I force bulbs in a trench. So I bought extra daffodils, hyacinths, you can do tulips, other things like that. And you pot them up in this in the fall. And dig a trench in your backyard and put these potted bulbs in the bottom of the trench and then backfill the trench with pine needles or straw or loose garden clippings, whatever you have, so it's not exposed to the air,
kind of mulchy,
kind of very mulchy. And you throw some water on it once in a while, not this year because we've got, they're probably drowning in there.
Right, it's so mushy.
But the neat thing is the reason we use the word force is we could also change out the word to fool. We're trying to fool those potted bulbs into thinking they've been through a whole winter when they've only been through half a winter. So I go out in about a week or so and start pulling those potted bulbs out and they proceed to bloom like it's March, April, May.
Oh, no kidding.
And make a great gift, very fragrant, you know.
Lovely.
And it's so simple to do and people just love getting it. And you don't even need a greenhouse to do this. You could do it. You could have a trench and then just bring them into your home and hand them around.
Nice.
And then they can actually plant those bulbs out in the garden and they'll bloom. They won't bloom the next year, but then they'll catch up and start blooming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun little project.
Yeah, and you get a double effect.
Yeah.
Double whammy.
Another similar thing you can do for winter blooms, even without a greenhouse, is in about another couple weeks, go out to your nearby fruit tree that has big fat buds on it and prune a few of those branches off, maybe a foot and a half long, and take a hammer, smash the bottom of those stems, those woody stems, stick them in water, and change the water out at least once every 4 or 5 days. And after about a month, they will bloom like it's full-blown spring.
Wow.
So you have a beautiful bouquet that costs you nothing except a few branches.
I love
it. And it's a real easy thing. It doesn't take any know-how.
Great.
So
you brought this little sample of a purple shamrock. Now, this is a bulb.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
It's bulb-like. I'm not positive if botany-wise if it's a corm or something similar to a bulb. But for all intents and purposes, people would think it's a bulb. I think it might actually be a corm, but which is another...
A corn?
Corm, C-O-R-M, which is a nut. It looks like a bulb, acts like a bulb, but it's a different kind of morphology.
Not a bulb.
Yeah, but it's a purple shamrock. It's not a true shamrock in the Irish sense of the word. It's actually more related to clover, also known as oxalis, and it makes a great houseplant. And there's a green shamrock, there's purple shamrock, nice big three leaves. You're not going to get four leaves. That's once in 100,000 plants.
Right.
You might see that.
Ooh, maybe this is it.
Even on a clover, you might see a four leaf. It's a nice houseplant. You can buy the bulbs through any number of seed catalogs, plant catalogs. If you own a shamrock, it's real easy to propagate and give away. You just dig into the little portion, couple square inches of the soil, and you'll probably find a bunch of these little bulblets. They're kind of flesh-colored and have little bumps on them. And just pull them out and put them in new soil, and you'll create instantly new plants. And the fun one thing I like about the clover shamrock is that every night the leaves all fold up.
Oh, nice.
You know, like it's time to go to bed.
Right, yeah.
And so
like time lapse kind of thing.
Low maintenance house plant does need a good sunny window. That's probably the only major requirement, and water it like a normal house plant.
All right. Now this little bulbette.
There's actually about four in there.
The little bulbettes
you
put in there when? Because you are saying this is probably going to bloom for St. Paddy's Day.
I think it'll leaf. I'm not sure if it'll bloom.
Okay.
But
that works.
But it's
leaves.
Nice and purple and pretty, so we'll see. You'll have to let me know.
Okay. Well, thank
if
you
If not
for that.
This year, next St. Paddy's Day.
So bulbs are fun.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of winter color going.
Yeah, and you know, the going back to that idea of forcing bulbs, a nice way to do that and save money is you wait till all the bulbs go on sale right before they pull them off the shelves. So you can buy, you know, bags of daffodils for hardly anything and then pot them all up and you've got some fun things to play around
with.
Yeah,
it sounds like a fun winter project.
Yeah, I'm also growing freesias, which are a greenhouse flowering bulb tropical. It's not being forced, but it has one of the best fragrances of any flowering plant I've ever grown. You'll get them in bouquets from florists quite often.
Oh, uh-huh.
And just the sweetest fragrance. And
nice.
So that's another one I like.
Great. I know I always get an amaryllis bulb for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What should I do with that?
Well, you know, in the old days, they would tell you to let it go dormant and put it in a dark space and ignore it for 3 months and then finally wake it up and water it and slap it around. And hopefully it starts growing again. That works, but it's a whole lot easier to not do anything. And you just cut the flower stalk off, let it grow those big strappy leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It will not likely bloom next Christmas because when amaryllis are left to their own desires, they want to bloom in the spring. So it'll probably pass Christmas, but if it's a nice, healthy plant with a lot of strappy leaves, it will bloom sometime the next spring.
All right.
So you just have to be patient with them.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a caller from Salida on the line. It's Mary Ann. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi. I had to smile because
Hello,
I'm looking
Mary
at my
Ann
amaryllis.
Salida.
As you're talking about them. Can you hear me?
Oh. I'm
Hello,
not sure.
I'll keep
Mary
calling.
Ann,
can you hear me?
Yep, we might need you to call us back, Mary Ann. We're not connecting through, so.
Too bad.
Salida. Wow. That's
yeah.
down in the Arkansas River. Love that
yeah.
town. Oh. Okay. Marianne, are you there? Oh, can't hear her, Jeff. Oh.
Oh. It's our fault.
All right. No worries. All right. We'll talk to Marianne in just a minute then. So 527-486-8866 KVNF now. I want to get into talking about seeds, but we'll do that after Marianne gets back with us. One of the things you mentioned is houseplants.
Yeah.
And that we were talking earlier before the show about young people are really getting into houseplants.
Yeah.
I like that trend.
Yes. Well, you know, and they're kind of getting back into gardening in general and
nice.
Green things. And that is good because for a long time, the interest wasn't there. The horticulture schools at the major colleges were shutting down. There were just no students. And boy, if somebody comes out with a degree in horticulture, they'll have people throwing money at you just to hire you to work at a botanic garden or a garden center or whatever.
Right.
Not just mowing lawns, but, you know, higher up jobs.
Yeah.
More fun jobs, too.
Good deal. I love that. I like to see what's happening. And, you know, that's the vibe that I think is at the Arbor Market. There's a lot of young farmers there, and you can just feel this great energy.
I love that about this valley, seeing these young farmers. Because having kind of farmed my whole life, it's not easy.
Right,
But I love it, and I hope they're loving it, too. And we're also fortunate to have this kind of local food culture and plant culture.
We are, and part of it's where we live.
Yeah, exactly.
So good. So in your greenhouse, then, you mentioned that you've got some warming mats there that you might do some seed starts on.
Oh, I definitely will. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of them.
Hundreds of seed starts.
Doesn't take a lot of space to grow a lot of seedlings.
Right.
Yeah.
God, isn't it amazing what you can yield out of that?
Yeah.
So what's your process there?
You know, you can buy these little roll-up black mats, and sometimes they come pre-programmed to run at 70 degrees, not all the time, but when the temperature gets lower than that at the mat, they kick on. And the air temperature still can be in the upper 30s, but if the air temperature drops but the roots are warm, they don't seem to care. Plants don't care. It's all about the roots being warm. But I'll be buying vegetables and I've saved some seeds. I like to buy some seeds. It's fun to experiment around and see what's out there. There's so many cool seed companies out there. And I would tell people if they're interested in starting seeds, you need to start with either new pots or recycled pots, small pots. Soil blocks are another thing. You can make these blocks that stay together. Newspaper pots out of recycled newspaper. There's a little tool you can buy made out of wood that helps you build those. Mm-hmm. You can use Dixie cups. You can use egg crates. You know, there's
be
anything
creative.
You can. But the main thing is if you're recycling a pot, wash it with a little soap and water. That helps so you don't get diseases carrying over. Speaking of diseases, I find it's a lot more helpful to use sterile soil seedling mix. And if you don't want to do that, there's recipes out there where you can do that yourself.
All right. Perfect. So. Hey, Marianne from Salida is back on the line. Hi, Marianne. Can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
We can. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Thanks for joining us tonight. What's going on?
No problem. I enjoyed that I was looking at my amaryllis when you were talking about them. That was fun.
Perfect.
But my question is quite different. I'm wondering about growing hazelnuts, or I guess filberts might be the more proper name.
Boy, I wish I could help you with that. I have never grown them, having not lived here that long, but there are varieties that are hardy for that. I would tell you to talk to Wind at Oasis Nursery. Because if anybody knows, I know he knows, and he would probably be telling you the exact perfect varieties of which you could grow. So I would point you that way, but it's just, I think there's going to be a little bit of, it's not going to be simple, because I think if it were easy, we would already have some orchards around here growing hazelnuts.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if somebody doesn't have a few around here that are yielding.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
What's your elevation Marianne?
I wrote down Wind at Oasis Nursery.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're in
Salida. I don't know. Probably about 6,000 feet.
Yeah, pretty similar.
It's gonna be a little harder if you're much above 6,000, but but it's worth a try. And there, you know, I have thumbed through catalogs where I've definitely seen hazelnuts that are rated for our zone, at least our zone here in Paonia. And so, but you can't always trust these zone maps, you know, or, the, right. or what they're saying. There's other things to take into consideration, wind, altitude, nighttime temperatures, things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, wind is okay. your source. Thank you, Marianne.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to listen to you. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm always amazed at the nut trees here. I mm-hmm. had no idea that you could grow walnuts and almonds. And
we're the beneficiary of a neighbor with a big walnut tree that has one branch hanging over our yard.
Nice.
And we thank him all the time for it.
Oh, my gosh. I had a great yield of walnuts last season. That tree looks like something out of Africa. I mean, it's just huge, and the branches.
I love the smell of the leaves. Have you ever picked a leaf and just ripped it? And it gives off a crazy smell.
Yeah. I'm going to check that
really
out.
Really different.
Oh, Marianne's back with some. Oh, no, she's not. Sorry about that. All right. 527-4868-866 KVNF now. We were talking about seeds and resources for seeds. You've got a couple here that are just some amazing catalogs. Let's let everybody know what those are.
Well, to finish one quick thought, though, when you do plant your seeds, plant them twice as deep as they are wide. Read the packet or look up, if it's not a packet, if it's Save Seed, what that seed might need specifically.
Okay.
Like lettuce needs to see the light of day to germinate. Mm-hmm. Other seeds don't want to see the light of day, so you want to study up on that. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to go real quick over my favorite catalogs and where they might come in handy for you.
We've got these two here.
Can we go
over those?
Yeah,
let's
go
over
those.
We've got another caller on the line.
Whole Seed Catalog by Baker Creek Seeds is just an incredible catalog. It's like an encyclopedia. It costs $10 to get this catalog. They have a free version that's much narrower, and it's all heirlooms. It's a beautiful piece of artwork. It's stories, it's recipes, and seeds for sale, all open pollinated, flowers as well, and just a coffee table book.
Is a coffee table book. Absolutely.
So
it's gorgeous.
The other one, if you're into herbs at all, Richter's. Richter's. And they're a Canadian company, but they readily ship to the United States. And it's got probably the most extensive collection of herbs and herbal plants, not just seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And a few vegetables, a few flowers, not much in the way of that, and a few supplies. But Richter's, it's just fun to look at. I guarantee herbs you've never heard of for ailments you've never heard of or ailments you have heard of. And they've got like 20 varieties of mint, you know, a guy bred mint to smell like bubblegum and another guy bred mint to smell like spearmint, which isn't a true mint, or
amazing.
A wintergreen, I mean, which isn't a true mint, orange mint and lemon mint, geraniums that smell like everything from chocolate to lemons. And
you have mojito mint circled.
Yeah. As you can see, I've already been through it.
Right.
Yeah. Got to make a mojito with a real mojito mint. There's actually a mojito mint.
Nice. Official.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to check in with Amber from Oasis Nursery, who's on the line.
She probably knows.
She knows.
Yes,
of course she does. Hi, Amber.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jill. Hi, Shane.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Great to listen to you. I thought I'd chime in on the hazelnut question because there is a hazelnut that we carry. It's an American hazelnut, and I happen to have about four or five of them growing in my yard, and they're producing nuts.
All right.
Oh, wow.
I want one.
Yeah, they're a shrub. So they're like a 6 to 12 foot shrub, not a tree, but they do produce these lovely, like, kind of, they have like fringy pockets that the seeds are in, or the nuts are in, that fall in the fall. Mm. And if you catch them, they can kind of unpeel them, and then the nut is inside of there.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, nice.
So they're really fun to find the nuts. If you can get them before the squirrels do. And also the added bonus is they turn an incredibly a bronzy red color in the fall. That makes them spectacular for fall color.
And being small would be great for people with smaller yards.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not small. They're still, like, tall.
Yeah, but not being a big tree.
Super, yeah, they're not a tree, though. Yeah, so yeah. You can put them in places where you have full sun. And
they're self-pollinating?
Local nuts. What's that?
Are they self-pollinating?
Yeah. I mean, let's see. Are they self-pollinating? I have several of them, so I can't attest that they are.
That's an easy lookup.
But it's always good to have more than one because then you get more.
Yeah,
even if
right.
they aren't self-fertile. If you have more than one, you get more harvest anyway. So.
How's the dependability? Are they every year or do you skip a few years here and there?
Well, I have one that's like 5 years old and then I have some that are just maybe 2 or 3 years old. And they have produced fruits or nuts just about every year since they were, I want to say, 2 years old.
Oh,
wow.
Well, put my name on one of those. Yeah. Maybe two.
Okay.
And Marianne's name on another one.
Marianne, I want her to get first dibs.
Come on over to Paonia, Marianne.
Yeah, we'll be open in April, so don't come now.
Okay. Yeah, right.
All right, we're looking forward to that, Amber. We'll have you and Wayne talk about that. Yeah. All
right. Well, thanks. Enjoy the show.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's great. I love that about this show is... ask a question and you'll get an answer from
some experts out there.
There are. Yeah. I love it. Okay, we only have a few more minutes, Shane, and I just wanted to ask you about compost because there's all kinds of stuff that can go into compost. And what do you do?
Well, I was just thinking about this. We empty a few crazy things into our compost.
Yeah.
One is, of course, we have a lot of pet hair when we vacuum. So when we're vacuuming and it's mostly pet hair, we dump that into the compost. And people hair is great. Mm-hmm. High in nitrogen, breaks down readily. Dryer lint is great. It fluffs up the soil. And technically, you could even do belly button lint, but it's going to take a while to save up much. But if you're really wanting
to
personally
compost Lance's garden,
if you want to personally contribute yourself to the compost, you can do it that way. Yeah. Although John Prine has a song about getting basically composted.
Yeah, so right. That's the way I'm going.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so be creative there too. I mean,
yeah, you know, what not to put in a compost pile is salt. Yeah. Anything salty, chips, you know, anything that was salted food of any sort, salt's mm-hmm. just not a good thing for gardens. And meat can attract bad things. Meat can compost down, but you could be running into some trouble there.
Right. That sounds.
Yeah.
Now, what about the dryer lint and it being of materials? Is it all biodegradable?
That's a good question. I would think if you're wearing a lot of synthetic clothing, it might not, but it might also be better in the ground than floating around in the oceans. I don't know. It could be a drainage material. Then, that's a tough one. That's a tough mm-hmm. call. But if you're putting mostly cottons in, you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Lulu would say, get rid of your dryer.
Yeah, and belly buttons. I think you're probably okay. I don't know.
You're probably okay.
It's not that much.
I've seen some bad belly buttons. Anyway, that's going
to
do
that's
it for us.
That's a good way
tonight.
To wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up, Shane. Thanks for being here tonight.
Yeah,
look
fun.
Forward to talking with you throughout the season. And it's How on Earth is coming up next, and then One Woman's Perspective. So, Shane Smith, local gardener, thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. See you next time.
Slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.